I had to write down one more thing. Mike, Karen, everybody's tickled to have you back. Me included. If you will, let's begin turning to John 14. John 14. We're going to turn quite a bit this evening, and hopefully the Lord will have us see some things. I pray he's with us. After Peter preached to those people, he said, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ." That's who's speaking here in John 14, verse 16. We'll pick up there. Well, I'll do verse 15 again. John 14, 15. The Lord told his disciples there, after he sent Judas away, he said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." That's what we looked at before. And I'd love to look at it again. He did not say, I'll touch on this. He did not say, "If you keep my commandments, then you'll love me," or "then I'll know you love me," or "then I'll love you." He said, "If you love me, just keep my commandments. Keep my commandments." And verse 16 says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth in you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." Who's speaking here? That's the Lord of glory speaking in human flesh, isn't it? Who's he speaking to? He's speaking to his apostles. He's about to leave. We're getting to listen in. This is important. What's he speaking about? He said, I'm God. Believe me. Believe me. Believe my words. Believe my works. And he said, now you have some gifts. That's what we've been looking at for weeks now. You have some gifts that way all men will know that you're mine. That you come from me. Because there's a whole bunch of people out there say, I speak on behalf of God. He goes, they'll know assuredly you come from me. He said, I'm going to leave those things with you. And he said, you ask anything of me for the furtherance of this gospel, I'll give it to you. Whatever's needed. You need to run fast, Philip, catch that Ethiopian eunuch. Done. I bet that was a marathon record. Whatever's needed. You need clothes? Need your shoes not to wear out? You ask me. If it's for this sake, I'll give it to you. And he said, now you love me. If you love me, keep my commandments. And you're going to have to tell everybody else what I've commanded. Go in all the world, preach the gospel. When the Lord saves them through his Holy Ghost, then you baptize them and then teach them. Teach them. And this is the Son. He said, I'm going to pray the Father. The Son's going to pray to the Father. And he said, the Father shall send you another comforter. He's going to send his Spirit. He's going to send the Holy Ghost to you. Why? That he may abide with you. He's going to dwell with you and may abide with you forever. That's never going to go away. Who is this comforter? Who is this? I've had a lot of questions over the years, and people say, well, were these apostles not saved yet because they hadn't received the Holy Ghost yet? No, he's talking to them. I'll cut to the chase. I'll give you the answer up front, Bob. He's speaking with them right now. The great comforter is sitting out there looking them in the eye. He said down in verse 26, but the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I've said unto you. He's going to come. That's the Spirit of God himself. The Son's going to ask the Father, and the Father's going to send the comforter. He's going to send the Holy Ghost to his children. And said, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. He's going to make you remember me. He's going to make you remember my word and my works. That's what he's going to do. The Spirit of God himself, the Spirit of truth. Who is that? Look at verse 18. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Well, I thought you said that you was going to send the Father's going to send the Comforter. Yeah, and he just said, I and the Father are one. Hold on now. We just have human brains, don't we? These things are so simple and so complicated at the same time. What did John tell us? He said, that this is he that came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is of truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. These three are one. He said, I'm going to go. I have something I have to do. And when I go, the Father, he'll send a comforter to you. There are three distinct persons in the Trinity. I don't ever want to reduce that. I don't want to distract from that. That's so. Yet, these three are one. The three of them are one. Look up in verse 10. He said, believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? And the words that I speak unto you, not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the work. The Father and the Son are one. Look over in John 15, verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, John 15, 26, whom I will send unto you. I thought you said the Father's going to send him. Yeah, I and the Father are one. I will send unto you from the Father the Spirit of truth, which shall proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. What do you say in verse 18 or text? I will come to you. Who's that? The Spirit's coming. The Son's coming. The Father's coming. That's something, isn't it? We're going to abide in you. That's what the Father said of the Son, wasn't it? He said, unto us, a child's born unto us, a son's given, and the government's going to be on his shoulder. What's his name going to be called? Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. The Father said that about Christ. His name is going to be the Everlasting Father. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. We remember that Paul wrote to that church at Colossae. And he said, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men. Well, you know, this is how we always did it. That sounds so much nicer than the traditions of men, isn't it? Than vanity. Well, we've always done it that way. Or after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. You beware of those, lest any man spoil you through all these things, to look to anything other than looking to Christ. Now, you beware of this. you don't have any trust? You trust in that. No, you trust in him. You look to him alone. And that's always good advice. I can't go wrong telling anybody to look to the true and living God. What about my necessities? Look to him. What about my comforts? Look to him. What about anything else? It don't matter. Look to him. Turn to him. He said, for because in him dwelleth the fullness. You don't look to anything in this world. Don't look to the traditions of men. You look to him, to Christ, because in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead in a body. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, all of them in one human flesh. And it was uncomely. Nobody wanted nothing to do with him. He was a door nobody wanted. Isn't it? You got Romans 8. Let's start up in verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded, it's life and peace. There's peace with it. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. That means it war with him. For it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of them. He's talking about the same capital S, isn't he? The capital S, Spirit of God. The capital S, Spirit of Christ. That Holy Ghost is God. It's God the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of God the Father. All three of them are in one. Our text says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you. I will come unto you. And they abode with him. That's who the Holy Spirit is. It's God the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Ghost, and that's Christ, and that's the Father. Now, that's just so. I'm to declare it, explain it. Yeah, I ain't got a good handle on that. It's so. We can't think of these things. But instead of trying to dissect it apart and try to get a good handle on God, why aren't we just thankful that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, all three of them's here for us and going to abide in us? He didn't leave us comfortless. We'll see what that means at the end. He come to us in the full power of the Almighty Godhead. That's something. What's the means in which the Spirit comforts us? Turn to Acts chapter 1. I was afraid Brother Caskell read that this morning. I thought, what you read was right. The Lord purposed it. Here in Acts chapter 1. This is the means in the days of old of how God the Holy Ghost spoke to people. Because of what's written here. We know that these scriptures, that's what I've quoted to you, I think, every message for a month now, but that's all right. Peter said, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scriptures is of any private interpretation. That's the first thing you got to know. If someone says, well, I don't really believe this is the word of God. I think man wrote it. And I know a man one time said, well, Paul changed. He saw his error and he changed what he was saying later on. That's not so. Just don't argue with them. If someone doesn't grasp hold of these things, they don't think this is an inspired word of God, thank you for the time, go on. And if we think we can get a handle on it and we can get our own interpretation by sitting in our basement reading the scriptures, you ain't learned that first thing. We got to get a handle on that first. Well, I got the scriptures. I'll just go save myself. Go up in the wilderness and read the scriptures. I'll just go sit on a surfboard down there and read. God, the Holy Spirit ain't going to bless it. No prophecy of the scriptures given by any private interpretation. But the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. God moved them to speak. God moved them to write. You got Acts 1? Look here in verse 16. Acts 1, 16. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. All these things that come to pass, that's exactly what David was talking about. But it wasn't David speaking. How did the Lord speak to us in these Old Testament scriptures? Through the Holy Ghost. His Spirit entered into those men and made them write these things down, didn't they? Not to the detriment of the gospel. Our Lord said, I came not to destroy the law or the prophets. I came not to do something. Well, now, if you forget what David said, I got something new. He said, no, I'm come not to destroy, but to fulfill. That's why the Holy Spirit made David write that. Christ had to fulfill the scriptures. Every jot and tittle. That's every dot and every cross T. Turn to Acts chapter 4. What about in the apostolic days? How's the Lord going to speak to his people? How's he going to move on them? Here in Acts 4, verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto him, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he was made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. What does a preacher filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with God the Holy Ghost, say? Look to Christ. He did it. The Father purposed it. He performed all this. That our wicked sins nailed to a cross. This is the stone, verse 11, that was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head cornerstone. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved. You must be. Now, those that he spoke to, they saw the boldness of Peter and John. That's, we never seen somebody like that. Speaking with authority, wasn't they? And perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. That's just fishermen. What do they do? And they marveled. They marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And it didn't get them anywhere. They said, we know you must have been with that fellow doing all them miracles. You're different. You ain't like him other fellows that get up and say the same old, same old, same old. Something's different, isn't it? These theologians, the Lord turned their hearts. He turned their minds a little bit, hadn't they? They said, this guy's a problem. These two fellows are problems. What are we going to do with them? They go through this whole thing, right? We got to get something on them. And they said, you stop saying that stuff in public. And Peter said, we're going to speak what we know. Can't say anything. I can't tell you a lie. I know it's to be true. I have to tell you the truth. Don't I? Look down verse 21. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. They'd get themselves in trouble, wouldn't they? For all men glorified God for that which was done. These guys speak, and they're not even getting the praise. They have nothing to gain from this, and they're just telling everybody to look to Christ. That's the work of the Holy Ghost. Man won't do it, and man can't do it. God's got to do it. Got to make somebody stand up and say, don't listen to a word I have to say. Look to him. don't listen to this man, right? Listen to what he says. Look to the Lord. Don't look to me. How could this be? How could people preach that way? The Lord said he's going to send a spirit, didn't he? It's in Matthew 10, he said, they're going to deliver you up. Take no thought of how you shall speak, for it'll be given to you the same hour what you shall speak. For it's not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. That's it. Like I said before, it's like willy-nilly. I have mostly just text here in my notes. Lord will have to teach me. Rely on him to give the message, isn't it? But there's some times, maybe you've experienced this. I don't think I'm the only one. There's times that you've heard somebody preach. And I don't disagree with anything they said. Everything they said was right. But something was just not there. It didn't move my soul. That's accurate. But something was missing. It was just empty. It was cold. It was lifeless. It was to the letter, wasn't it? Why is that? God the Holy Ghost wasn't with them. That's it. God the Holy Spirit wasn't with him. Turn over to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. There's time to sit down and read and read and read. I mean, you might get some knowledge, but there's no warmth. Why? The Spirit's not meeting there. The Lord didn't say where you're gathered with two or three books, I'll be with you, did he? Did he say, I'll gather with you where you got two or three DVDs? That's not what he said. Mankind in this day is just leaning on that non-volatile storage device as hard as they can, thinking they're all right. And they're cold. There's no growth. There's no comfort. Look here in verse 18, Matthew 28, 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Preach to them. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Is that just something we say when I stick people underneath the water? No, it's not. God Almighty, the Father, purposed this. The Son purchased that sinner, and the Holy Ghost came and revealed it in their hearts, proclaimed salvation in their hearts. It's all in their name. Teaching them, verse 20, to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am. That's the great I am. The Father, the Son, or the Spirit? Yes. The great I am. I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I abide in you. Fear not. Be not dismayed. I'm with you. What happens after this preaching is made effectual, if the Holy Spirit's given? What happens? There's some things needed for that to take place, isn't there? There has to be a man that God sent. After his own heart. He's got to have a word from God, according to this written word, isn't it? To tell his people. And then the Lord must give us his Spirit. The Spirit must be with us, and he must bless it. I can stand up, and if we get one word from him, that's an eternity of blessing. I can speak between 3,000 and 5,000 words every time I stand up here to talk to you, and it ain't going to do you a lick of good. Ain't going to do nobody good. But if the Lord's pleased to speak whatever truth I'm saying to your heart and say, peace, you that already have life, peace, you'll be at peace, Bob. You will. I can't do that. He can. Those that's never believed on him, he can say, live. And you'd have life in you like that. I can't do that. I can fling the barbed arrows of the gospel as hard as I can fling them and just hitting dead men. That's all I'm doing. Unless God says life and there's life. He can do it, can't he? He has to give that. Look back on our text. John 14, verse 16. The Holy Spirit of God must be given. Given. It says in John 14, 16, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. You can't receive it, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him. You know exactly who it is, because he dwells in you and shall be in you. You can't choose to get the Spirit. You can't choose to have the Holy Ghost. It's given. It's just like faith. God has to give it. It's his Spirit. He's got to give it. He's the source. It's his. I had friends growing up. The Pentecostal movement's heavy in Eastern Kentucky. It's old Billy got the Holy Ghost Friday night. Because they had services on Friday night, so the children wouldn't go out and cruise or drink and drive or do whatever. They wouldn't get out getting in trouble, so we got to keep them in church. It's a tactic. Instead of making them mind at home, teach them the Word of God. They had a tactic. And so, look, what happened? Well, I gave in. I had a friend of mine one time. I said, yeah, I went up there and jibber-jabbered for a while, and then Mom and Dad let me go out Saturday and do what I wanted to. I said I was going to go preach to some other people, try to get them to go to church with me. That's what you do. So we went out partying. It was a sham. It was a show. They knew it. They knew it. Children are pretty honest sometimes, ain't they? It was a spirit. They got a spirit, all right. Wasn't Spirit of God. Falling over chairs and cutting a shine and acting like a heathen. That's God's house. Calm down. Mind your foot when you go in his house and mind your mouth. That's what the scriptures say, isn't it? Training young children. Whatever you tell them little ones, that's what they're going to grow up saying and doing. And how we pray in front of them, that's how they're going to pray. What they call me, that's what they're going to call me unless we train them, right? How they're going to act in front of God, how they watch us act. Turn over to John 3. We can't do something to earn this. We can't force God and bend his arm and make him do it. The Lord has to be pleased to give us a spirit. Look here at John 3. Verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This is Dr. Nicodemus. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, teacher, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. We don't really know who you are, but we know God's got something to do with you. You're in there with him somehow. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's what the Lord just said in our text. The world can't see it. Can't see it. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except to be a man be born of the water and what? Of the Spirit. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You reckon that's important? Pretty important, isn't it? We must be born of the Spirit, or we cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. He's saying in like manner, just as our new birth has a whole lot of similarities with our old birth. We didn't have nothing to do with it. God did it. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. You're going to know soon, Nicodemus. That's what he's saying. Don't get spun around the axles on this. You just listen to what I got to tell you. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst tell whence it come and whether it goeth. So is every one that's born of the Spirit. When God moves on somebody, like that came out of nowhere. I wasn't looking for God. I didn't know who God was. And he showed up like the wind blew it. I wasn't real sure which direction it was. And you can't stop it. He blows on them dead bones and lives. Blows, knocks you clean down. We saw videos of tornadoes this week. And people trying to videotape and they get sucked out of their house. And got the chicken's got a head this big, got enough sense to get out of the rain, don't it? Not these folks. That wind come, that Holy Spirit's come, you can't resist it. And we're glad we couldn't resist it. We was playing church and didn't have no part with God. We hated God. And then one day, he said, live. One word. We were alive. What happened? What's the message that this comforter comforts with? Look here in John 16. John 16, verse 4. We remember there in John 15, he said, when the comforters come, whom I'll send unto you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, which proceed from the Father, he shall testify of me. That's what he's going to say. A man told me one time, he said, I don't think the Spirit's down there with you folks when you're preaching. I ain't going to go back there no more. I said, well, what's that mean? And he said, well, I just didn't feel warm and fuzzy. I said, well, if the Spirit's there, it's going to profess Christ. If that don't make you warm and fuzzy, I don't know what we it's going to profess of Christ, what he's going to do. Look here in verse 4, John 16, 4. But these things I've told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. You ain't going to remember now. You will down the road. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go away. I go my way to him that sent me. And none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I've said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. I said I was leaving, and you were just tore all to pieces. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's expedient for you that I go away. That hour must come. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I'll send him to you. That Comforter, if Christ doesn't go away, if he doesn't go to that cross, and he doesn't bear what I am, doesn't that make you heavy-hearted? All the horrible thoughts I don't even remember having, and all the good deeds I should have done and I didn't do. We don't know what we don't know. He had to become me and bear every bit of that from God the Father. And he has to. Maybe it's just me and our part of you that says, no, Lord. Like Peter, albeit far from thee. Can't you identify with Peter? This ain't right. Oh, this ain't fair. You bet it ain't fair. Oh, damn. There's a part of me that says that. But he says, I have to go. It's expedient. Because if I go not away, the Comforter ain't going to come. Well, what if the Comforter, what is he going to comfort us with? Nothing if he didn't go and hang on that cross and rise out of that grave. We have to have an empty tomb. We have to have one interceding for us at the right hand of the Father. That's satisfied everything, that the work's finished. That's what the Comforter would say, this is who Christ is. Here's what he's done. Look at verse 8. And when he's come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believed not on me. There's a time I believed in a Jesus, but it wasn't this one. There's a time I believed in a God, not the God. That's so. I didn't come up higher ground a little bit better doctrine. I was wrong. God was right. I was a liar. I'm sin. Not a sinner. That's the feminine noun I am. I can't do nothing outside of him but sin. That's all I am. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Because I go to my Father. That's it. Who can ascend but the one that descended? Before the Holy Spirit came to me and saved me and revealed Christ in me, I thought, well, I could have made it at least halfway. What do you mean you're going someplace? Just like Peter. What do you mean you're going? Why don't you tell us where we're going? I can go with you. What's wrong with me? Why ain't I good enough to go? We thought we deserved it because we're just sweet little church people. Didn't we? He's right. I'm sin, and he's the righteous one. I ain't got none of it. Of judgment, because the prince of this world have judged. All that judgment, everything's finished. Well, there's something left for me to do. That's what I used to think. Well, now you got to get holy. No, you don't. You got to have Christ is what you got to have. He's the holy one. He's the righteous one. I have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. Albeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me. For he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore I said, he shall take of mine and shall show it to you. And now what our Lord said as he walked to earth, he said, I and the Father one. I'm telling you all the words he told me. Well, the Spirit's saying the same thing. Why, the three's one, ain't they? The three's one. What comfort there is in having this truth and good news imparted to our hearts. When he comes to us, sinner, I'm sin. Kevin, what good can that come? Christ came to save sinners. That's good news. You a sinner? I got good news for you. If you just, if you're pretty clean, I ain't got no good news for you. Of righteousness, I have no righteousness in myself. Christ Jesus, he's the Lord our righteousness. That's good news. It ain't just a two-bit stand-in. That's God Almighty's my righteousness. What about that judgment? The whole matter's been satisfied. Every bit of it. How do we know? How do we know? That Spirit came in power. Born, gave us life that can't die. It ain't going nowhere. Can't go away. And revealed these things, just regenerated us, didn't he? That's what Ephesians 1 said, in whom ye also trusted. After that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. I believe that. How do I believe that? That's God's got to make me believe. And that's the earnest of our inheritance. If you believe, it's because God made you believe. And because he made you believe, and you know it, you get a hold on to that. That's your down payment until we're made just like him. Until he comes for his purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. And we'll say amen to it. Until we get to go home, we'll say, if I go home, he's bringing me home. And he's coming because he said so. He's like, I'm going to come and get you. I believe him. That get you through the day? What, make it till Thursday? Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, her iniquities pardoned. She's received of the Lord's hand double for all sins. Water in the blood. Water in the blood. We've been purchased in that blood. All of our sins have been removed. And that water, we've washed like him, the disciples. Washed all over. You're every whit clean. Holy. Unreprovable before him in love. Plumb saved. I can say that to anybody. Tell you what he said. God, the Holy Spirit can make it effectual in the heart. He can give peace. He can. That's the message. What's the result of that comfort? If God, the Holy Spirit moves on somebody, works in them, instead of, I said this here's a pun. Instead of you look like somebody that's seen a ghost. Somebody looks like somebody that's experienced the Holy Ghost. If God moved a mountain, you reckon we could tell? I think that mountain's moving about 25 miles an hour. If God works in the heart of somebody, don't you think we can tell? They won't kick their dog as hard anymore. They won't cuss their employees as bad as they used to. They're going to start building their lives around the worship of God. Here's some of that comfort. They're in a text. Look at this. If you got a marginal reference, John 14, verse 18. You know what that word means, comfortless? You got wrote down? Yeah, I tried to look for it today and I couldn't find it. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. If you have a marginal reference Bible, that word comfortless means parentless. What's that? Orphan. Orphan. I won't leave you an orphan. I talked to my brothers and sisters the night before they buried my mother. And I said, I don't have a father and I don't have a mother. I'm an orphan. And so we became orphans that day when the Lord took her home. That's an empty feeling, isn't it? Her pastor got up and preached her funeral the next day. And he said, Lord said, I won't leave you comfortless. That means orphans. You ain't an orphan. How'd he know what we said in that motel room at midnight? How'd he know? How do you reckon Frank figured that out? He bug us? Didn't tap the phone? Lord said, whenever he hung on that cross, he said, right there is your son, right there is your mother. Didn't he? This is our family. I have fathers and mothers and all that stuff on earth. On earth. And that's handy. I got you. I got brethren. I like that. That's handy. Much more important than that, we have a heavenly father. Because he's birthed us. He's gave us life in us and adopted us, or however you want to cut it. Remember Abraham? He always had Sarah. Isaac had a servant, Eliezer, went to go get his bride, and Jacob had to go get her. What's that mean? However you slice it, we're his. However he moved on you. We have a father, we have a brother, and we have the Spirit of God with us that'll never leave us nor forsake us. One more scripture and I'll be done. Romans chapter 8 again. Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 14. I want you to Pay close attention. It's underlined if you want to. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, that's a capital S, isn't it? It is. They are the sons of God. For ye have not received the lowercase s spirit of bondage, again, to fear. I put somebody under bondage. Of what? Anything. Of the law, of tithing. Well, what about something man come up with, our vain traditions? How about soup kitchens? They're fine, ain't they? I bet them hungry people appreciate it. They probably complain. Well, they do complain about what kind of food it is, but that's bondage. That's something to do. You got to make yourself holy. You got to clean up your act. You got to clean the outside of the cup. You got to quit sinning. You got to do this. You got to do that. That's a lowercase s. That's a spirit of bondage. Again, to fear. That's not spirit of God. But ye have received the capital S spirit of adoption. Are you orphan? Was that a time you didn't have God and you was at war with him? I try to say it all the time because there's some people that fight it because they're at war. I never did hate God. You still do, probably. He adopted us. I was an orphan. I was a little heathen running the streets, stealing food, doing anything I could to look out for number one. And he adopted me. But he had received the capital S, spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That means Father, Father. Children call out, Daddy, Father, Dad, Father. An orphan can't. They don't have a father. They don't have a mother. They don't have a family to call out to. We are children of the Most High. Sons of God. Joint heirs with Christ. What's that even mean? I know what it means. If we're joint heirs, somebody died, I know what that means. Joint heirs with Christ. What more could I want? What more could he say to us? I want to have that spirit. I pray the Lord's with us. He says he'll be with us. He said, when I send that spirit, I'll be with you forever, always. Now, he may hide his face from us, but we're not hid from him. Isn't it? That plays out in our lives. I saw some folks correcting a brother one time, and everything, the words were right? But the spirit was wrong. It was correcting, not loving. And that one corrected. It was true. They took it, but they had the wrong spirit because they got defensive instead of having a broken heart. So that's all the works of the flesh, isn't it? James and John, they said, we're going to call down fire on those that don't bow to you. That's right, isn't it? The right words, wrong spirit. The Lord said, you don't know what spirit you are. You don't know what spirit you have in it. Where does that leave us? God, the Holy Ghost, has to come to us through the preaching of the gospel and make us cry out, God, send your spirit to us. Bring your spirit to us. Give us life and put our eyes on Christ and him only. And then make us praise him. His spirit has to do that work in us, doesn't it? When he does, oh, it's precious. It's precious. You can't bottle it. One of the real old writers said, you can't bottle that spirit. What's another way? What's a modern vernacular we can use? Well, you can't record it and save it till later. You can't put it on a thumb drive. God's with us. Boy, it's something special, isn't it? He'll make sirens go off in our hearts, won't he? Brother Mike.